I'd like to welcome the next presentation and demonstration. And I'm going to turn to Rex Brooks, who will emcee this portion of the program. This is continuing along the lines of what it will take to build that virtual cyber infrastructure. Here we've got a focus on the importance of the architectural principles of loosely coupled by way of service-oriented architecture. And welcome, Rex, and thank you to you and all your panelists.
Thank you, Susan. And I'd like to thank Susan very much for spearheading this series of workshops, which gives folks like us a chance to show what we're doing and to learn from others. So the one thing I'd like you to keep in mind as we go through this series of demonstrations and presentations is that we are actually making progress in this field, believe it or not. We are moving forward, and we're continuing to add capabilities to the National Response Framework that Dr. Kaneva has outlined in this forum previously. That's what providing emergency services in a service-oriented architecture does. It builds the virtual cyber infrastructure we need to pre-configure our preparedness and readiness to respond to emergencies. And if we can move to the next slide, please. This is just the title slide. The Integrated Response Services Consortium is a relatively small group, and we want to give you all a bit of background on our group. It stands for the Integrated Response Services Consortium. We're presently an informal group, and it's not yet clear whether moving to incorporate as a formal organization is a step in the right direction for us. For now, our lack of formal organization actually suits working as a loosely coupled SOA, or service-oriented architecture, better than a more formal structure might. In our current configuration, we can be more agile and responsive, and that also reflects the needs of the emergency response management field quite well, at least in the sense of maintaining adaptability. So for now, our focus remains on integration on a practical basis, supporting more exercises, more presentations and demonstrations to educate our audience and to improve our performance. This is also the conclusion we want to leave you all with. We need more, and we need more frequent exercises to improve all aspects of our performance. And the next slide, please. Now we're on slide four. The first line here in this slide reflects the main message that we're taking emergency response integration to the next step, and that step is practice. Improvement is needed because the whole concept of integrated response services is new in the sense of being relatively untested. Integration requires interoperability, and interoperability requires open standards. Open in this context means transparent. It's a process that the public can examine for themselves, and it contributes greatly to ease of adoption in the sense that open means unencumbered by hidden intellectual property rights. This slide also provides a lot of acronyms for open standards in various organizations and open source projects implementing some of those standards. An acronym list is included in the last slide in this introductory set. Move on to slide five, please. This slide sets the stage for what follows in this set of demonstrations and presentations, as well as what we think should follow out in our world. Practice, practice, practice. We'll be highlighting many services, including the NIST Modeling and Simulation Group's Exercise Control System, to show that we have many of the components necessary to back up our conclusions and roll out a regimen of practical emergency response management improvement. And we'll move on to slide six, please. Our first presenter in this group is David Coggeshall of the Golden Gate Safety Network, showing us the common operating picture, which serves as a graphical interface for several services. Up second is Adam Humphrey of Scalable Architectures, showing your global grid for tracking alerts and interfacing with the SOA registry. Third, we have Charles McLean again walking us through the NIST Exercise Control System with Guillaume Rod, which serves to conduct and score exercises. Fourth is Alessandro Triglia of OSS Nacalva, demonstrating the exchange of EDXL resource messages in a prototype application aimed at users. Fifth and last, we will show an open source sample implementation of EDXL resource messaging that is aimed at developers and vendors to make the initial step into developing implementations easier and less expensive. And with that, we'll go to slide seven. This is our acronyms list, which I promised. you, and the next slide starts the section that David Cogswell will walk us through. David, it's yours.